I'm going to pick up with where I left off this morning, dealing with the foundation. The Lord has really revealed to me that this is where the attack is, and I was sitting there thinking before I came up here. I was looking at the scripture in Psalm 11:3. If the foundation is destroyed, what will the righteous do? I'm thinking, they can't do anything. If it's destroyed, if you take the foundation out, it falls, doesn't it? We can't wait for destruction. You understand where I'm coming from? We need to shore up the foundation. The foundation must be maintained. The foundation must be protected. And I was thinking this afternoon, Satan's tactics and how they haven't changed over the years. He still uses the same tactics that he used in the Garden of Eden. Did God say? Now, that's to get you to question God. Did God say? Is that really what God meant? Let me give you the interpretation to what God meant. Isn't that how it went? And my paraphrase? Well, if he can get you diverted from the foundation, which is the Word of God, if he can get you diverted from the foundation, he can convince you to believe a lie. And that's exactly what he did with the first woman. She came back to him with the Word of God. And then he got her questioning and saying, this is what he really meant. How many private interpretations do we have to Scripture today? Amazing, isn't it? Then he got her looking, thinking, reasoning. And once she was captivated by her senses and reasoning, fell in the trap, didn't you? Well, he's still using the same tactics against us that he used against her. It wasn't until she took her attention off of the Word of God that he was able to entrap her. And if you keep your attention on the Word of God, he can't trap you. But if he can get you diverted, well, maybe he meant something else. Maybe I'm misinterpreting the Scripture. Just trying to get you to second guess the Word of God. And then I was thinking about Job and how Satan's tactic against Job. Let me get him accusing God. If I can get him accusing God, then I've got this thing whipped. I mean, this is the most righteous man of these. If I can take him down, or the most righteous man on earth, upright man, if I can take him down, then that's a major battle for me. I mean, a major victory for me. So what did he do? He attacked his possessions, but Job's foundation was not on possessions. Think about it. Then he attacked his children, but his foundation wasn't on his family. Unsuccessful. Job maintained his integrity in God. He said, I didn't come in with anything. I won't go out with anything. I'm just going to worship God. It's the essence of it. Stay true to course. But Satan persistent. He came back. Well, It'll be different if I attack him personally. Now see, Job didn't know who was attacking him. He thought God was doing this to him. He didn't have the Bible that we have. He couldn't read the account. But he finally said this, "If God kills me, I'll trust him." Wow. "I will not move off of the foundation of which I've built my life. If I die, I'll die believing God." But he also made a statement, and you can find that in Job 13:15, but he also made a statement in Job 19, that "I know my Redeemer lives." And he says, "If the worms destroy this body, I will see him in my flesh." Never moved from the foundation, even though he didn't understand the circumstances of life that were hitting him hard. Believe me, he had some horrible experiences. Wouldn't you agree? But it didn't move him from his foundation. But that's what Satan wants to do with us. Attack us in any way he can to get us to move from the one in whom we believe. You know, redemption was made possible because Jesus would not move from his foundation. He wouldn't try to preserve himself. Garden of Gethsemane was a hard time. But he said, nevertheless. You understand? We're not going to move from God's original plan. I'm going to stay with that word. He did, and thank God we have redemption today because he stayed true to his Father's will. He's an example for us to stay true to the Father's will. If Satan can get us to doubt, become frustrated with, you know, impatient, or to get one angry with God, or, you know, things of this nature, he can influence our beliefs. And how many people have fallen prey to these attacks like this? Something didn't occur in the period of time that they thought it should occur. And so they either doubt God or they get frustrated. I remember years ago, I'd been teaching on healing, what the Bible says about healing. And this man in the church came to me. He said, "Man, that was good. I'm going to walk in that." And I think it was either a week or 2 weeks after that, he came to me and he said, "That faith junk doesn't work." Now, here's what happened. When he made the decision to agree with the Scriptures, Satan came immediately to steal the word. So how would he steal the word on healing? Physically attack you. Right? To get you to move from the word, so if he can get you to move then he can get you to stop believing the word in that area of your life. So then you're open prey to him in that area of your life. And it can be in any area of your life, you understand? If he can get you to doubt the word, then he has open season with you. And that's what he tries to do in any and everybody's life. He wants to do everything he can to get us to move to a point that he can change the way we believe. People are going along great. They're serving God. And then they lose a member of the family. And they go to the funeral and the preacher preaches how God took that member of the family. and people get mad at God. Well, why not? Wouldn't you get upset if somebody just walked up and killed somebody you love? And that's what they're accusing God of doing. Walking up and killing somebody they love. Well, God needed him like you didn't. And people have turned their back on God because of the loss of a child or because of the loss of someone close to them and turned and walked away from God because Satan convinced them that God did it. They moved from the Word. Actually, they never had the real true Word established in their lives is what it is in most cases. People get emotionally upset, and that emotion can drive them to do some radical things. Or they get so much emphasis on the intellect that they become so intellectual that they think that they're smarter than God. Because God doesn't appeal to intellect. God defies. He is so beyond intellect that He'll defy that natural intellect. You understand? You can't understand God. And so we come to grips with that, the better we're going to be. Because God is too awesome to understand. You can understand things about God. You can understand things about the will and ways of God. But to say you understand everything about God, that's a deception in and of itself. And people think because they cannot intellectually recognize God, that God doesn't exist. I could be farther from the truth. This is how Satan attacks. He'll attack you physically. He'll attack you mentally, emotionally, circumstantially. You know, circumstances doesn't agree. Here you are, you're walking along, everything's fine, you're seeing the blessings of God, the prosperity of God, and then all of a sudden it's like somebody pulled a mat out from under you. And things appear to be falling apart. And then because of circumstances, people say, well, that's not true. The Word's not true. That Scripture's not true, or those Scriptures aren't true. And then Satan is just having a field day, because now you're open to believe something other than the truth and the integrity of the Word of God. You understand? So we have to get established, and I mean solid, on the foundation. Because his method for destroying the foundation is to replace truth with error. Now, in order for that to occur, he has to get you to doubt truth. You understand? I mean, why would anyone in their right mind choose error over truth? You wouldn't just knowingly do that, would you? So then he has to get you to doubt truth. Did God say? Yeah, but is that what he really meant? So he gets you, in a subtle way, he gets you doubting. If he can get you to doubt truth, then he's got his foot in the door. And when he gets his foot in the door, you heard, give him an inch, I take a mile. That's exactly what he does. He'll attack you physically, he'll attack you mentally, he'll attack you emotionally, he'll attack you circumstantially. Any way that he can attack, he will attack in an attempt to get you to doubt God. That's what he wants to do. He wants to get us to doubt God. Why? Because God is his arch enemy. If all the believers ceased to be believers, God's Word couldn't come to pass. God's Word coming to pass is contingent upon the body of Christ doing its part in earth today. So where's the attack? It's on the body of Christ, not the body of any other religion. It's on the body of Christ, because the body of Christ is a threat to what Satan wants done. Now here's the interesting thing about Satan. Not only does he launch an attack against people, but he convinces people that God did it. I mean, even in insurance policies, they write out acts of God as storms, damage. You know, we don't cover acts of God. You don't cover the Holy Spirit. You don't cover salvation. Those are acts of God. Destruction's not acts of God. But see, he's even convinced the corporate world to get you to believe, and writing this into policies, get a believer to believe that catastrophic events are acts of God. You ever thought about that? Surely you don't believe they're acts of God. So what's he doing? He's attacking and telling you God's doing it. He was attacking Job, and Job thought God was doing it because Job didn't know. We know. Now, if Job, not knowing, could stay faithful to God, how much more should we who know be faithful to God? You see that? By convincing people that God does bad things to them, Satan has destroyed the foundation in many people's lives. Why do bad things happen to good people? Because there's a mean old devil out there. He wants to steal, kill, destroy. He's going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That's why bad things happen to good people. So don't blame God. Know who your enemy is, and know that your enemy is trying to undermine the foundation upon which you built. You understand? And that foundation being the Word of God, which is God. You built upon God. If you're built upon the Word of God, you built upon God. If I can get you off of the Word, I can get you off of God. And if I can get you off of God, then now you're powerless. You lost your authority. Our authority is in the name of Jesus. All I need to do is get you to stop using that name. I took your authority away. You not see all this going on today? Do you don't think it's calculated? Of course it's calculated. Once the true foundation is destroyed, people build their lives on lies and deception. Because man's heart is evil, wicked. And without a heart change, without a regeneration, which can only come through Jesus Christ, who can only be known through the Word of God, then Satan is in charge. So just remember that you are an enemy of Satan. Not only is he your enemy, but you're his enemy. Now, he's been the aggressive one against us instead of the church being aggressive against him. See, when Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail, he was talking about, if you actually look at this in the Greek, it's not the gates of hell you know, can't penetrate me. It's not a defensive mindset. It's the gates of hell can't keep me from taking the spoil that they've taken. You understand? We take back what's been stolen. And the church hasn't been aggressive. Satan's been the aggressive one. And we've just tried to hold on. Pray for me that I'll hold on to the end and be faithful to the Lord. You ever heard those testimonies? Is that a testimony? Sounds like the monies because of a test, right? Anyway, when truth's doubted, the door is wide open to deception. You think about it. And if it's wide open to deception, then error and destruction are inevitable. Because that follows deception, doesn't it? Paul said we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. Now that just simply means we shouldn't be, because we have the Spirit of God and we have the Word of God that's revealing the way Satan operates against us. And I'm telling you that the attack is against what you believe. That's why you must be established in what you believe. I followed Mike's advice this afternoon. I started writing some things. What I believe, why I believe it. You need to know why you believe what you believe. You understand? And check yourself out by the Word of God to see if the Word of God agrees with what you believe. If not, get in agreement with the Word. But don't be ignorant of Satan's devices. His desire is to get you to doubt. If he can get you to doubt, you'll never receive the thing God has for you, because you have to receive it by faith. And the truth is, you're receiving what He has for you by faith. Your faith can be in success or failure. You think you can, or you think you can't. You think you're smart, you think you're dumb. You go in the direction that you think. If you think you can achieve, you achieve. If you think you can't, you don't. So, he doesn't play fair. Have you noticed that? He'll use any method, any tactic he can. He'll use any person he can to try to get you to doubt your beliefs. In 1980, on my job, sitting in my office, this was before I went into ministry. I can't explain to you what happened, but in the snap of a finger, I knew things I never knew before. And I started writing what God was showing me. You understand, I had read the Bible through. I read the Bible regular. But all of a sudden, I started understanding the Bible. Now, the interesting thing about that was not one person agreed with what I wrote. So, these thoughts come at you. You must be wrong. And I countered that with, I'm not that smart. I know me. And I was never called a creative writer. You understand? I know this is God. I know it's God. And this went on for months. I never heard of the three-part man. God just revealed a three-part man to me. Now everybody talks about it. I didn't know how I knew it. I just knew it. And yet the Scripture's always been there. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, "And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless." I thought, man, I'm on to something. You know, we're going to light the world up here with some revelation. I wrote me a little manuscript on the Trinity of Man. Nobody believed it. It doesn't exist anymore in that form. It exists in another form called the Apocalypse of Man. All those things were to try to get me not to believe what God had spoken to my heart and was substantiating with Scriptures. See, the Spirit of God gave it to me, and then the Bible confirmed what He said. And I've always been this way with the Lord. I must have at least two. You say in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word is to be established. I must have at least two Scriptures before I'll believe it is truth. And He's never failed to give me those two Scriptures. You understand? But in retrospect, I can look back and see to where if Satan could have convinced me to give up and not to keep pursuing what God had given me and not to keep writing what He had given me, we would have none of the study guides or manuscripts. We wouldn't have a Bible college. This church wouldn't exist. So what's he trying to do? Stop it before it gets started? How? By attacking the very foundation it would be built upon. And that's not peculiar to me. That's the same way that he works at your life. He wants to get you to doubt. So he can put a belief in. He wants to impart something contrary to what God says. But if you're full of something, there's no room for something else to go in. Think about it. If you're full of the Word, a lie has no place. If you're full of truth, there's no place for a lie. But if you're not, then he can slip these little things in as you go along. We must have a biblical foundation for what we believe. And when I say that, I'm talking about to the point that you can prove what you believe to yourself. You may be a good salesman and convince someone else, but are you good enough to convince you? If I can convince me, then I'm pretty convinced, you know, that it's the Word of God that convinces me. So, the Bible's the believer's source for his foundational beliefs. Otherwise, you're not a believer in the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, we must ask ourselves some questions. First off, I must ask myself this question. And you do this whether you think you do or not. Somewhere along the line, you've done it. Is the Bible true? Is the Bible true? And we've probably all dealt with that. Maybe not just confronted that blatantly, but we've dealt with it in some way. Is the Bible true? Or is it just partially true? Now see, when I was growing up, most evangelicals that I was familiar with would just get red in the face over, yes, it's true. I mean, don't tell them the Bible's not true. They believe it from a table of contents to the maps. You know, the Bible's true. Infallible Word of God. But as we've progressed and culture's changed and we've become more educated, we have decided within ourselves that this is just documents written by people. I mean, we've seen the archaeological findings, or we've seen the writings and things of the archaeological findings. These are just things that men wrote, just like other things that men have written, you know. There's other things out there, you know, the lost books of Eden and all these other books, other writings of other people. So what makes you think the Bible is true? See, there's a lot of things to attack you, to get you to doubt. And if it can ever get you to where you're not sure, it's a setup for persuading you to go in the wrong direction. If you're not sure. Paul said, I know in whom I believe. I know. I absolutely know in whom I believe. You have to be established in these things. Is the Bible true? If the Bible's not true, then the believer has nothing to support its beliefs, his beliefs upon. If I don't believe the Bible's true, I can't convince myself my belief is right. We're just wishing and hoping. It's amazing how many people aren't sure of their salvation. I was talking with someone recently, and I just said, tell me something about your salvation. And they hesitated a minute, and I said, well, you are saved, aren't you? And the response was, well, I hope so. I said, that's not going to get it with me. Salvation is a no-so. You understand? You have to know in your heart. And I believe that a person who is born again absolutely knows they're born again. I don't have to tell you. I'm not going to tell you you're saved. That's an internal thing that takes place on the inside of you. Now, I believe I can look at your life and tell a lot about you. But you tell me. It doesn't say you believe in your heart and me tell you what you believe. It says for you to acknowledge with your mouth what you believe in your heart. Is the Bible true? I have to get that settled on the inside of me. What I have to settle is the validity, the integrity of the Word of God. I've had people to tell me, well, the Bible contradicts itself. No, it doesn't. You just don't understand it. It's not that it's contradicting itself. You're confusing it. You understand? And if you'll go in with an open mind before the Lord can reveal things to you that you may think is contradictory when actually it's supplementary instead of contradictory. If the Bible's not all true, then which part should I believe? Have you ever thought about that? And see, I had someone to tell me back, I don't know, I guess it was years ago now. Well, you know, I don't I don't read the Old Testament. I don't believe in the Old Testament. I'm with you covenant people. I said, well, why don't you just tear the old covenant out of your Bible? If you don't believe it, just tear it out, rip it out. What good is it? You can't understand the new without the old. The old gives so much insight into the new. You understand? I believe the Word of God. Now, let me put this out there. Please listen closely to how I say this. I believe the Bible is the infallible Word of God, and I'll qualify infallible by God made no mistake when He spoke it to men. Okay? And that the men who wrote it in the language it was originally written in, they wrote in their vocabulary what God gave them. That doesn't mean that they necessarily spelled everything correctly. Any of you ever misspelled a word? That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about what God said was put down on paper. Then people started translating. Now, the original was inspired. Then scholars started translating. And people from various denominational influences brought in private beliefs into translation, or fearing the king would avoid translating things in a more literal way. Okay? But I still believe the Bible is the infallible Word of God, having said that. God didn't make mistakes. Men may have, but God didn't. Well, how do you know what to read and what to believe? We have so many reference materials available to us today that we're without excuse. You don't have to be a Hebrew Greek scholar. You understand? And in America, they're readily available in bookstores. Okay? So we're without excuse. So we can know the truth and the integrity of the Word of God. We can know the validity of this Word. I think Mike said it this morning. Study. Not just read it. What is it? 2 Timothy 2:15? What does he say? Read the Bible, show yourself approved? Or does he say study? See, the King James Version uses the word study. Be eager to learn the Word of God. Be eager to learn the Word of God. Excuse me. My foundation's solid. Okay? So, the Bible's valid. It can be trusted. And if I can't trust one part of it, I can't trust another part. How can I trust God for my salvation if I can't trust Him for other things in this natural life? How can God take care of me spiritually if He's unable to take care of me naturally? See, these are things that must be established because they're fundamental truths that will get you over the hump in the middle of the storm. It'll take you through it. You'll still be standing. Why does persecution come? For the Word's sake. Because you take your stand on the Word, the persecution comes to get you to move off of God's Word. So you'd better get it deep on the inside of you to where you don't question God when you go through a particular thing. Too many people are saying, why? You understand? I had somebody not long ago to say, why me? I said, why not? What makes you special? It's not why me, Lord. Oftentimes I say, Lord, I don't understand what's going on, but I know one thing. I understand that anything bad coming against my life is not you. I know that. And I also know that because I love you and I'm called according to your purpose, that this is going to work for my good, so I'm just going to thank you in advance. And stay established. Because you'll have all kinds of thoughts that'll try to move you off of the Word. That'll try to get you to doubt. You'd be amazed how many times, me personally, how many times that I've heard, God doesn't love you. God doesn't care anything about what you do. Now here's what I've learned. Well, thank you. You just told me that God cares about me. You just told me that what I'm doing is a threat to you, so I must be doing something right. Thank you for encouraging me. So you turn it. Rather than to start feeling sorry for yourself, you start entertaining that thought in a negative way, it's going to take you in the wrong direction. But when you realize the Word of God says that Satan is a liar, he's the father of lies, there is no truth in him, then you know anything he's telling you is a lie. So why believe it? Believe the opposite. God doesn't care. Well, yeah, he does. God doesn't love you. Well, he does. You see where I'm coming from? But this has to be established in your heart. If it's not established in your heart, you won't walk it out. When the storms come, when things come against you, it'll trip you up. The storms come. But you don't get your eye on the storm. Keep your eye on the pilot. He gets you through the storm. Don't doubt any part of the Bible. If you do, you'll find yourself changing beliefs. And here again, I remind you, 1 Timothy 4, and we've talked about this in the past, you know, the signs of the times, how that some are going to depart from the faith. You know what that means? Their foundation was attacked. They moved off of what they originally believed, and then they fell for a deceptive lie, a deceptive doctrine. How many deceptive doctrines have entered into the church today? Well, you don't have to do this. You don't have to do that, you know. That's the old school. It's a different day. It's a different time. It's a different culture. So, just come as you are. We accept you as you are, you know. Well, I'm not a clothesline preacher. It doesn't matter how you come in here. We're just going to preach the Word of God. But I'm not going to encourage you to come in here drunk. I'm not going to encourage you to come in here high. I'm not going to encourage you to just continue a lifestyle of sin and say, well, you know, God is love, so God loves everybody. No, God hates sin. He loves everybody, but He hates sin. So there can't be a compromise in the church. And when you start believing to an extreme that gets you in a ditch about the love of God, then you forget about things God hates. And the Bible talks about things God hates. He hates liars. He hates gossip. Now, the things that God hates are not the sins that religion, or the things that religion calls sins in it. And here again, I'm not promoting ungodly, unethical things, okay? I'm just simply saying, what do you believe? And is that belief established on the Word of God? Does God believe like you believe? Are you as convinced in that belief as God is? Then you can't be moved. No storm of life can move you when you get this biblical foundation laid in your life. You have to be convinced. This is the only true source for my belief. That's the only true source for my belief. Even if God appears to me in some form, I'll have to see it in the Word. You understand? It'll have to be proven to me in the Word. Satan can transform himself. If you just want to see an image or hear a voice, oh, you can hear voices and see images. But I'm going to check it out with the Word of God. It has to agree with this. And if it doesn't, then it can't be God. You better know the foundation that you're building upon is safe and sure. And the only safe and sure foundation is the Word of God. You know, this just hit me as I was saying that. I was thinking about Noah's Ark. It just dropped on the inside of me. That Ark was built by the Word of God. All the dimensions, materials, everything was built by the Word of God. So the Word of God, you with me? Carried him through the storm. What if he would decided that he'd want to dial that up a little bit and customize it? Might have sunk. But see, that's what the church has tried to do. They've tried to customize the ark. You don't customize the Word of God. You take it literally as what it is, and you don't try to explain it away. See, the validity of the Bible is under attack. It's under attack by religion, trying to get you to doubt the Word of God. Leading Bible colleges doubting the validity of the Word of God, no longer calling it the infallible Word of God. Consequently, the believer's foundation's in jeopardy. You can't depend on someone else to put that foundation in you. You have to know in whom you believe. You have to know that what you believe agrees with the Bible. Not because someone says the Bible says, but because you can read chapter and verse for yourself, or you can read it to someone else. I think I mentioned this morning, but it bears repeating. Did you know that the Christian's Bible is the only religious book that's brought into question? They could care less about the rest of them. Why is it that none of the other religious writings are opposed? They're not a threat. Even evangelical Bible colleges are backing off from the validity and integrity of the Word of God. When God told us to start this Bible college, He gave me specific instruction. He said, the Bible is your textbook. He said, I want you to teach the Bible, not about the Bible. Teach the Bible. back in 1988. He said to me, he said, I want you to study the prophet ministry. I said, okay. He said, don't read any books on the prophet ministry. Isn't that something? He wants me to study the prophet ministry, but he doesn't want me to read any books on it. He said, you'll know the prophet ministry by studying the Bible prophets. Study the Bible prophets and you'll see how the prophet ministry operates. There's so much deception today on prophet ministry that it has so many people hoodwinked, they don't know what they believe. They're certainly not founded on the Word of God. Know what you believe. Know in whom you believe. Make sure that your foundation is solid. There's too many organizations, too many special interest groups and individuals that are trying to discredit the morality and bodily ethics of the Bible. And if you're not established in it, they could get you doubting it. Right? And they've got our young people doubting it. It's amazing to me how many people my age are now doubting the Word of God. I would think as you get older and more knowledgeable, you should become more established. And if you aren't, it's because you've backed off. You backed away from truth. So let's get aggressive toward knowing the truth. Amen? Take it one thing at a time. I've done this. I was in Honduras, actually. And I was sitting under in a class, and the speaker was speaking on salvation. As I was sitting there listening, the Lord said to me, all you know about salvation is what somebody else has told you. And I got to thinking about that. And I had to say, you're right. So I made a determination that as soon as I got back, I was going to study salvation. That I was going to study righteousness. That I was going to study grace. That I was going to study sanctification. That I was going to study the Holy Spirit. I want to know for myself what the Bible says about these subjects that I've heard about all my life. And I can tell you that I have a foundation in those. Scriptural. And I'm going to believe what God says, not what people say. I challenge you to do the same thing. Know it for yourself. Amen. I'm going to stop there. We're near through. I want to get to why is the Bible the only religious writing that's under attack? And there's some things I want to say about that. Okay?